So I wanted to continue in our discussion of the love of the truth. But this morning, the Lord really impressed upon me what a broad brush we're painting with when you use the term the love of the truth. That's really a very, very big topic. And so I kind of played with those words a little bit to kind of understand, if I had to define what the love of the truth is, how would I define the love of the truth? And I came to the conclusion, we know that God is love. So we would begin with, it had to do with God. And we know that the truth is a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the weight of that thing came to me that the love of the truth is to come to the understanding of God's perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. To totally envelop the whole love of the truth is for us to be able to come to a place to understand what God's perspective, His vision, His purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ really was. When we get it all done, we'll understand how God the Father felt about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that really is painting with a very, very big brush. Last week we talked about how, and really what we're doing is we're dealing with attributes of the love of the truth. Last week we talked about how important it was to have gratitude toward those that the Lord sends us. And the truth is the Lord will send us the very best for the things that He's doing in our life. And our ability to have gratitude both in receiving one another and receiving the gifts that God sends us, gratitude toward that individual, but also gratitude toward our Father in heaven, is a beginning of loving the truth. It's how we gain His understanding of things. Today, I want to talk about how important it is that we intercede or petition God on behalf of those that He sends us. When God sends us the very best, one of the things that should stir in us in our love of the truth is that we would want the very best for those people. You know, we're turning, if you remember, one of the things that we're trying to do is put to death this soul. And our soul is always going to be turned toward us, looking inward. And we're trying to get our attitude to where we have a greater concern for others than we do ourselves. No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. The model Christ had for us was His desire for the very best for each of us. He went to the cross with no benefit to Himself, but it was of great benefit to us. And so, in our love of one another, in our receiving of one another, in our love of one another, we need to move to that place to where when the Holy Spirit quickens us, we're quick to intercede, both out of gratitude, but out of our desire for the very best for one another. One thing we should routinely do is for those that God sends you, is in your time of prayer and petition and supplication, intercession should be one of those things that we do for one another. You know, I have several intercessors who've told me that God put me in their life and that they were to intercede for me. And so even when I have a particular thought or concern or need, I'll call them and ask them, you know, in your intercession, take this thing before the Lord. Or if I'm interceding on somebody else's behalf, sometimes I'll call my intercessors and say, join with me in interceding in this manner. But we should be eager, because God has been so good to send us these people, to intercede on their behalf. What becomes the obstacle to that? What becomes the obstacle to being more interested in others than you are yourself is a little thing we call the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those three things are the things that cause us to want to turn inward and be concerned about my well-being rather than the well-being of others. And in doing so, I take the responsibility of Christ away from him and try and take care of it myself. And what tends to happen is Christ won't help me then. God the Father doesn't help me if I'm trying to do it in my own strength. We often tell wives in our counseling with them as couples that as long as you've got your hand on your husband trying to fix your husband, God's not going to do anything to help you. Because if he did, he would set you up for the temptation of saying, look what I did. Same thing's true when you take on your own circumstance. When you try to become your own provision, your own protection, and make up your own identity, when you take control of it, you limit God's availability to help you. He's going to keep you alive. He's going to give you food to eat and clothes to wear. But that's about as far as you're going to get with him, because if he allowed you to become, as the world calls, a self-made man, you'll become very, very much a braggart. Look what I did without the help of God. And we know pretty well that apart from him, you can do nothing. That whole thing, that lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, is what Scripture calls carnal or fleshly living, where everything becomes focused on my own flesh, my own comfort, my own care, rather than my concern for others. You know, Paul says, and we talk a lot about, Paul says, I've learned how to live whether in abundance or in lack. Well, most of the time when we say that, we tend to think we're talking about financial circumstances. But what Paul was saying was, I've learned to put on display the character of Christ that God placed in me without regard to my circumstances. Whether I'm in a good time or a bad time, I've learned how to display the love of Christ without regard to those circumstances. Good or bad, doesn't matter to me. I'm still going to stay focused on representing Christ, is what Paul said. And that should be our goal as well. Without regard to our circumstance, we talked a couple of weeks ago how in each and one of us, God has put a piece of himself that he intends for us to put on display in concert with those around us to the world, so that the world might know him. I mean, God's one of God's perspectives on the Lord Jesus Christ was that, well, the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer, in fact, specifically says, Father, may they be one as we are one, so that the world might know. God put this piece of himself in each of us and desires that we work in concert with one another so that the world might know that he sent Christ and that he is God the Father and that he desires that we be reconciled to him fully in all matters. We've talked about previously how there's no circumstance in our life. You know, Tommy and I was talking about this a while ago. One of the biggest deceptions that comes our way is that something is beneath God, that it's too minute for him to be concerned about. When Nancy and I were younger, when we thought we decided to have kids, or we thought we chose our careers, our mentality was, we're not going to trouble God with that. He doesn't care about that kind of thing. But the truth is, there's nothing. That's a big lie from Satan to say that there's anything at all happening in your life that God's not deeply concerned with. If he numbered the hair on your head, some of you boys back there, it was pretty easy to do, but if he numbered the hairs on your head, there's nothing beneath his interest that goes on in our life. But I was thinking about how we've talked about before, nothing touches you that doesn't pass through the hand of God. There's absolutely nothing that will touch you that doesn't come through his hand or get his approval. We know from the book of Job that even Satan had to go request permission to do what he was going to do. Jesus said to Peter, three times your enemy has asked to sift you. So even Satan has to get permission to touch us. And sometimes God will grant him. Well, when God grants our enemy the opportunity to sift us, or he allows circumstances to come our way, most commonly God's purpose in that is to reveal something about himself to us. That through our circumstances, he'll catch our attention, that we'll look toward him and we'll gain a greater understanding of who God is. The problem with it is, I've said many times, Satan cannot create anything. He can only pervert those things that God is doing. So when God releases that, Satan will pervert that thing so that you'll turn inward, and it will cause you to try to understand yourself better. We start looking toward ourselves. Oh, woe is me. Why am I suffering this? Why am I doing this? And he puts an inward focus on us, a fleshly or carnal focus, when all the time God is saying, you're going through this that you might know me better. And so we need to, when those things come, and our tendency is to turn inward, we need to repent from that. Put to death our soul, put to death our carnal desires, put to death our fleshly attitude, and turn our eyes toward the Lord and see what it is that God's trying to reveal about himself, about his goodness, about his provision, about his protection, about our identity in him, who we are in him, rather than who we are in ourselves. In the love of the truth, death of our own flesh, death of ourself, death of any self-preservation, self-determination, is one of the things that we have to have. We have to move toward it. I tell everybody, you know, in the evangelical church, we promoted it as, come to Jesus, he'll make your life better longer. And there's nothing about that that's true. But if we said, come to Jesus so he can kill you, not many of you would come that way. But that's the truth. Come to the Lord that you might die, that he might live his life through you for the benefit of the world. Now, we grew up in West Texas saying, be your own man, be your own woman, do well, do the right thing, gain wealth, gain power, gain influence, all of those things. It's all about me, 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 me. And that all that does is feed our soul, our fleshly, carnal desire to succeed. When Paul's teaching about Christ's call says, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. And I'm going to put forth that. My point simply being this today is, everything about us should be outward in our looking. How do I benefit others? How did God create me? What circumstances did God put me in to be of benefit to others? And how can I do that and best represent my Father in heaven without regard for myself? Now, the confidence you can have in not having regard for yourself is you have the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God the Father, petitioning him on your behalf for everything you need. And he knows far better what you need than you do. So you should have no regard for yourself, and you should be able to have regard for one another. And when you look around your circumstances, you look around your sphere, look with the intent of seeing one another in the spirit, not in the flesh, and recognizing the outstanding gifts that God has given you in these people that are around you. And when you do, express your gratitude and express your intercession to God on their behalf, that his blessings might flow freely to them in all the things that they do. Okay? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Might be helpful if you define intercession versus some of the other kinds of prayer.
Okay. We've separated out prayer, supplication, intercession, petition. Supplication and intercession are very similar in what they do, but they're similar to petition. I think of petition being me going to God on my own behalf, saying, are you aware? Intercession would be petitioning on behalf of another. First act of intercession we see in Scripture is in either the third or sixth chapter of Mark. The four guys are carrying their buddy, the paraplegic, on the mat. They're trying to get in to see Jesus, and they can't. So they go up, they take the roof off, dig through there, and lower him down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says that Jesus looked at him, and because of their faith, said, your sins are forgiven. Those four guys were interceding on behalf of their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ for his need. And it motivated the Lord not only to forgive his sins, to insult the Pharisees, but he also said, well, which is greater, forgiving sins or telling him to rise and walk? And so he told him, get up and walk, roll up your mat and go. So he both forgave his sins and healed him. But it was because of the intercession of the four friends. So our intercession would be, and once again, the best intercession is going to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit makes you aware of a need or an area in somebody's life around you that God is working, you come in concert with the Holy Spirit to petition or intercede on behalf of that person to the throne of God for that need, for that move of the hand of God. Supplication, when I look at the definition of it's very similar to that. Apart from petitioning being me crying out for my own need, we have thanksgiving, which is a form of gratitude that we talked about last week. And then for me, true prayer is when we're listening, not speaking to God. Good enough? Anybody else?
Doug, with the going to God and asking, are you aware? Obviously, you're not really asking.
Yeah.
Because of course he's aware. But does that just mean that I recognize this as a need and I want you to know my love for that person? So will you, is that what you mean by making God aware of it, making aware of your love for the person or the situation?
Yeah, and you're really doing two things there. You're making God aware of your ability to hear from Him, because the Holy Spirit told you, the Holy Spirit comes to me and says, Randy needs the spirit of revelation. And so when I go to God and say, God, I heard you say there's a need in Randy's life for the spirit of revelation, I want to remind you of that. And so then I'm doing two things. I'm acknowledging my love for you, I'm acknowledging my love for God, and I'm acknowledging my ability to hear from the Holy Spirit concerning you.
I see.
So it's a full circle. I mean, we know God is omnipotent. He knows all things. So we're not really reminding Him of anything, but we are. We're reminding Him of we're obeying you. We're hearing you, and we want to obey you.
I see. That makes sense.
Now, that's the purest form of intercession. There is the other side of it for me to in my natural life, looking at you in the Spirit, to recognize something that I determine is a need in your life. And I can petition God for that too. And as long as it doesn't get in the way of what He's doing, He's very, very likely to do it for you. What we can't have is my wish for you messing up the things that God is already doing in your life. But if I see something that I think would benefit you, and just out of my love for you, I petition God on your behalf for it, and it's not in contradiction to what He's already doing in your life, many times He will grant that thing.
I see. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I assume we'll come back next week and probably talk about another attribute concerning the love of the truth. Okay? Thank you.